Thank you for listening to The Drive on Demand, powered by your local Ace Hardware stores. Ready for backyard tailgating? Ace Hardware is giving away 5 Traeger grills worth $799 just in time for football season. Just visit 1043thefan.com/ace to enter. Sweepstakes end September 30th, so enter today.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Coach Fangio about Blake Bortles today.
I think it's hard to tell. You know, like I said, he didn't get any snaps with the offense. He did some of the scout team work. He got some snaps with the offense off to the side. You know, it's hard to tell right now, but he still throws it good.
Just it's long and loopy and
takes a while.
Takes a while to get there. What about having 4 quarterbacks on the roster?
Well, we had 3, which most teams have at this point. And when we decided not to IR Drew, you know, we still felt like we needed to replace him to get somebody else in here. So temporarily, you know, we will have 4.
Okay. Temporarily. On the active 53. That is a unique situation.
It's a unique one. Makes sense right now. I don't know what else they would do. You've got Drew Locke. You're not going to put him on the IR, so he counts as 1.
Yep.
You've got your backup, Jeff Driscoll. He's your new starter. He's number 2.
Yep.
Brett Rypien is the only qualified backup available this week.
Yep.
There's number 3, and you just signed Blake Bortles, number 4. Not even that hard to figure out.
Can't put him on practice squad.
Right.
Signed him.
Next week, Brett will be back to practice squad, right. And Blake Bortles will be your backup quarterback.
Right. And then against the Patriots?
I think it's anybody's game.
You know what I think they're hoping for against the Patriots after digging around a little bit today? I think they think Drew Locke is going to be back quicker than people think.
Oh, by the Patriots.
Yeah,
I think they... That's awfully quick. I mean, you only missed 2 games.
I'm hearing that the recovery is going really well and that they're optimistic about it and feeling better about things.
Well, good. I mean, that's encouraging because in theory, you might be able to survive the next couple of weeks, at least 1 of the 2.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to survive against the Jets. And then by the time you get to the Patriots, if you get Drew Locke back, you might actually have a fighting chance at salvaging the season.
Maybe the Patriots.
That seems really quick to me, though.
I know. It might be a stretch. I get it. It might be a stretch. But I'll say it's probably unlikely, although they're encouraged by his recovery. My guess is by the Dolphins. I would be, while that's a stretch, I'd be surprised if he's not back for the Dolphins game. How about that?
Okay. I mean, that's encouraging news. I don't really know what it is that you're reporting on, but I'll take you at your word, and that's good. That's great.
They're just feeling good about it down there. That's all.
Sure.
So hopefully that'll be the case. It's just a quirky situation that you're going to have 4 quarterbacks on the 53. I mean,
it's unavoidable.
That hardly
this week,
ever
though.
Happens. Unavoidable, yeah.
You just simply did not have time to get Blake Bortles caught up to speed.
No, it'd be ridiculous. Be ridiculous. Glad he's here. Glad that there's good. You know, we wanted this type of situation anyway. We did.
We did.
We advocated for a veteran quarterback to be in the fold. We just didn't quite trust, you know, Jeff Driscoll. And listen, if Jeff Driscoll just is a better option than Blake Bortles, then great, fine. No problem. But at least you have that option.
Well, and if Jeff comes out and he plays over the next couple weeks the same way that he played against the Steelers, he's not going to lose his job. You just got to ask yourself, what's the real Jeff Driscoll? Was it the guy that played against the Steelers, which was good? It wasn't fantastic, but it was good. Or is it the guy that was 1-7 coming into his career with the Broncos?
Fangio, about the one that caught me by surprise today, though, was Jerry Jeudy. That surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was out there at practice yesterday, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just watching from the hill.
Yeah, nobody was really talking about Jerry Jeudy the last few days.
He looked fine to me. Oh, by the way, Bradley Chubb today was back full of practice. Okay. So we'll take that for what it is. And
it's Friday. I mean, you know, I would hope that he's back. It used to be the old rule. I mean, if you don't practice on Friday, you don't play on game day.
Yeah, but
so.
he's not even listed as anything on the injury report. Nothing.
Right.
Not limited.
They're sticking to the maintenance day. That's what they're sticking
they
to.
Are. They are. You don't think they're being completely honest?
No, I think that there's not a new injury, and they're maintaining the knee.
Here is a little of a fan you're talking about, Jerry Jeudy.
Hey, Coach, is Jerry Jeudy trending in a way where you think he'll play on Sunday, or is that a game time decision? Is that just game management for him as well?
All of the above.
All right.
What was that?
Right. You got to pay attention to this one. You got to pay.
There were a lot of options. In
right,
that.
Right. Let's go back.
Hey, Coach, is Jerry Jeudy trending in a way where you think he'll play on Sunday, or is that a game time?
All right, is he trending in a way that he'll play on Sunday,
or is it a game time decision?
Okay,
is that just game management for him as well,
or game management?
Uh huh.
Meaning, if he does play, you just got to kind of watch what he does.
You gave the coach too many options.
That was a lot of questions.
Yeah, you gave the coach a lot of options.
I know.
All of the above.
So you do think he will play on Sunday?
Well, the thing I heard you say was game time decision, yes.
Which he didn't.
He is a game time decision, and yes, I do think he will play, but dang it, why did I just tell everybody that I think he will play?
That's great. It's tough on these Zoom calls when you got a lot on your mind and you're just trying to, you know, you only get, you know, a little bit of info there. I didn't know he was hurt at all. I didn't know it was that big of an issue that there was any kind of issue. How do you adjust to that one, by the way, if you don't have Jerry? Well, Sutton, of course, is gone. Let's just say Jeudy is limited during the game. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about it too much. Coach just pretty much gave it away. He just told you the guy's going to be played. So I'm not going to worry about that all too much. But, I mean, if Jerry Jeudy's not out there, well, you've got Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton, and KJ Hamler. Those are your guys.
Tyree Cleveland. Wouldn't that be something if Tyree Cleveland just has a day? I could see it.
Well, I know this. The days I was out there, he found a way to make my notes every single day.
I know.
And he just was Mr. Steady Eddie. Every time the ball got thrown his way, he didn't have a ton of opportunities, but with the opportunities that he had, he capitalized on them. Honestly, it reminded me a lot of Tim Patrick from a few years ago when Tim was brought in to be a camp body. And I'm not saying Cleveland was a camp body, but he's a late-round draft pick.
Yep.
There's certainly no guarantee of you making the team. And Tim Patrick, he just forced his way onto the team, as did Tyree Cleveland.
Yeah, like Cleveland was in more or less the same situation as Juwan Winfrey.
Yeah,
and they
moved
up to get Juwan Winfrey too, but no guarantees of anything. And Juwan, I wish him the best. He's not with the Broncos anymore. Tyree Cleveland, you're right about that. He's really done well. Boy, and I'm not telling you to add him to your fantasy team, but if you want to just be a smart Broncos fan around your buddies, just, you know, sneakily throw in there, hey, keep your eyes open for Tyree Cleveland.
You know this Tyree guy?
Yeah. I'm telling you what, keep your eye on him. Of course, most of your friends will look at you like, who?
Yeah.
But just, you know, to be a smarter Broncos fan this weekend.
But if you want to be the biggest
Tyree
nerd.
Cleveland. Well. Tyree Cleveland.
Yes.
Tom McMahon. You know, Tom McMahon press conferences.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Dude, they are must-listen. And this was no exception. You'll hear it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Here's The Drive.
But before I get into Tom and Man here, Tyler, here is the on the RamosLaw.com text line on a No Offense Friday. Here is the misleading stat of the day. You ready for this one?
Of course.
Blake Bortles has a higher playoff passer rating than Tom Brady.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Blake Bortles.
Wow.
Wow.
The playoff god.
And there you go, our misleading stat of the day.
Thank you. That's it. We don't even have to talk about it.
That's all you need. Okay. Did the special teams stand out to you to be particularly bad on Sunday?
Outside of the punt, the safety, what else did we have? Help me out here. Do we have anything else besides the safety?
The safety was bad, yeah.
That was really bad.
Well, there was the return for a touchdown, but it was negated by a penalty.
Correct. That was, yes.
So I don't know if you even count that.
Yes, you do.
I guess the punt.
Yeah, you count you do. That. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, you know, I usually am so frustrated by special teams, but the botched punt, our guy, Sam Martin, who we like as a punter, I mean, he just took his eye off the ball. I mean, it was a perfect snap by Boban Moyer.
Well, he's been doing a great job for us, but that's entirely inexcusable and highly frustrating. You give up points because your punter dropped the ball. Yeah, that's a problem.
Our guy, McMahon. We should have music for McMahon. The little general. I don't know if we could have some, you don't need it now, but maybe in the future, like some military music for our guy, Tom McMahon. But here he is about, first he talked about the teaching moment of the Falcons and the Cowboys.
Okay.
You know, when like five Falcons players just looked at a ball spinning
it's
around.
An onside kick. Right. Get on it.
Like, you are allowed to jump on the ball receiving team at any moment.
One of the dumbest plays I've seen in a long time, but yes, carry on.
All right, here's that.
We use it. Definitely use it. You know, your ball like that that's slow, you know, as slow rhymes with go get it. If it's hot, not. You know, let it go through to the next level. But we worked out today again. Great, great teaching stuff for us.
All right,
if it's slow, you got to go.
Slow.
If it's hot, it's not.
Wait. Slower for me. Slow.
Slow, go.
Go.
Slow.
Go get
go.
It. Hot.
Stop.
I thought it was not. Wait, is it hot stop
or
hot
not? It's definitely not. But it should be stop. Hot.
These are.
If the first one's go, shouldn't the second one be
no?
Or
no, but
stop?
It's gonna rhyme.
No,
with
it should
hot.
Be stop. It well, should be stop.
Well, stop.
Go stop.
Stop doesn't technically.
You stop at the red light. You go at the green light.
I get it, but there's some rhyming going on.
I know,
here.
But the rhyme's got to make sense.
Not make sense.
What does not mean? What does that?
You know, I'm confused. Let's hear the coach.
That does not make sense.
Definitely use it. You know, you ball like that that's slow. You know, as slow rhymes with go get it. If it's hot, not, you know, let it go through to the next level. But we worked that today again. Great, great teaching stuff for us.
There you go. The general, Tom McMahon.
You hot snot, you.
What rhymes with maybe? All right, more.
Whoa.
McMahon on specialty. How they do against, I love the music. Do we have more of the music? We can just keep that music going. This is how did you do against the Steelers?
Terrible. One word. Couldn't tackle. Poor tackling. You know, we didn't catch that snap. No excuses. Danny's team outplayed us. You know, Pittsburgh outplayed us. Their returner made us miss also. You know, you give credit to the guys that make plays. And they made plays and we didn't. Tackle poorly. I thought coverage was not good in terms of lanes. We got a lot of things that we cleaned up this week, but we played terrible with a capital T.
Capital T, terrible. You got to love this guy, man. You got to love this guy.
I love him. I do love him.
Outside of the fact that his special teams have been
terrible.
Capital T terrible. A few years now.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the way you talk, man.
He is winning the press conference, no doubt about it. The question is, why are you so terrible?
Right.
I mean, what is so complicated? What is going on here?
Man, all special teams coaches are just a little bit crazy. I've never had one that was not just a little bit crazy.
The media tried to let him off the hook, and they asked him, well, was it because of the preseason?
He should be right no matter what. You know, we missed six tackles on one play. We got guys that are trying to do other guys' jobs. You know, we can't do that. It's something we got to fix, you know, and we got to learn from it, and we got to own it up. And we did.
We did. We got it fixed. That's what that means. We won't have this happen again.
So it's all going to be good on Sunday.
Did you still practice catching the ball at the 5-yard line?
He was asked. KJ Hamler is returning the fourth. Was it a mental mistake or was he instructed to take it out? Was he instructed to take it out of the end zone?
Oh, this was another bad one.
Because,
yes.
You know, you get the ball at the 25-yard line by doing nothing. By doing absolutely nothing.
You don't even have to catch it.
You don't even have to catch it.
Just let it hit the ground.
Hit the ground. Yeah. As soon as it hits in the end zone,
yeah, you're good.
That's it.
Yeah.
It can hit the end zone, bounce back out. It's in the end zone.
Walk to the sideline.
You have to do literally nothing, and the ball starts at the 25. So if you take it out, it better be, I mean.
It better get to the 26.
At least. And then you really have to take in the value of getting a one-yard advantage. I'm telling you, if you take it out, you better get to the... I mean, it doesn't make any sense unless you take it to at least the probably 27, 28-yard line.
Well, I got
no, I'm sorry, 30, 32, 33-yard line. At least 6 or 7 yards beyond what you normally have.
I have no issue with taking the ball out as long as you know you're going to get to the 25. And quite frankly, if you get to the 26, I really don't care because it is an opportunity to go make a big play.
But and you so, don't want to be behind the 25.
Correct. I mean, if there's any chance that, like, if you have to press it and make some miracle play just to get to the 25, don't do it.
All right, so...
capital T, terrible decision.
Here's a McMahon on KJ Hamler.
That was a mental mistake on his part.
Okay.
Well, Coach, last week you said it was a mental mistake, but you coached him into practicing
that. A mental mistake on his part.
So, did you have him practice that this week?
Tom McMahon is not taking the blame for this one.
No?
Well, listen.
That was a mental mistake on his part.
He's not... taking the blame.
Yeah, but remember he said the exact same thing last week, except for that he followed it up with, but that's my fault because I had him practice that.
Last one. I love this guy. McMahon, who does he plan on having return kicks and punts? Well,
Right now it's Deontay. You know, Deontay's the returner. We had to go with two returners on kick return last week, Zach, simply because he's a guy that kicks to the edges. And on kickoff return, you can't get one returner way over to the 1 yard line one way, way over to the other one on the other. But right now, it's Deontay that's our returner.
Right now. That's code. You can't believe the special teams is such a mess, right?
I mean, I can. They've been that way for a long time now.
Right.
With Tom McMahon at the helm, by the way.
I actually feel a little bit bad for the general.
Why? What? Don't feel bad for it.
I mean, on the KJ Hamler thing, you know.
No, actually, I don't feel bad for him even remotely, because if he had KJ Hamler practicing returning punts from the 5 yard line and he didn't coach him out of that, not for one second do I think that he was yelling at KJ Hamler for returning a ball that was unreturnable. I bet you every single ball that KJ Hamler catches during practice, they take out. Every single one of them. I could almost guarantee it.
They're not practicing taking a knee.
No, they're not judging whether this is a ball that I should be returning or not. They just take it out. They just go.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff from the general. I'm telling you, special teams is the easiest thing to coach. Like, if you have this many, terrible with a capital T, and that rhymes with G, which stands for Gronk, and he wants to block. And not catch footballs anymore.
Nice.
Really? That's next.
Here's the drive.
All right. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. It's a No Offense Friday. Tyler... Does this make sense? Mark Schlereth says...
No.
Good point. Should I continue or not?
I mean, you don't really need to, but go ahead.
I don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tyler, does this make sense? Mark Schlereth says the Broncos have no depth. So since they have no depth, does that mean that the players on special teams are not very good? That's why Denver would have bad special teams.
Sure, makes sense to me. Yeah. I mean, makes plenty of sense to me. You've got a team that has got you're razor thin. You've got starters, traditionally speaking. You try to play as many backups as you possibly can on your special teams. And when you don't have good quality athletes as your backups, then those are the guys that are on special teams. Sure, I buy it. Makes sense to me.
D-Mac, no offense, but if special teams is so easy to coach, why don't you apply for the next opening around the league?
Oh, bird, that team.
Well, I've never wanted to be a special teams coach.
You do make it sound a little bit overly simplistic, and even I think special teams is easy, but you got a way. You just got a knack for just making it sound like, boy, any old high school gym teacher could go out there and teach special teams.
I think special teams at the high school level is 10,000 times more complicated than at the NFL level.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Now I got to do that thing where I say, what? Huh? Why? Back it up. Okay. What are you talking about?
Because the specialists in high school are not nearly, I mean, it's a joke compared to in the NFL. The long snapper, the punter holder, and the kicker. In the NFL, those...
Oh, you might be saying the job is harder, but it's not more complicated.
Well, you just don't have...
Special teams in high school is as simple as it gets.
Okay. I'm just saying there's... Wow, everybody's piling on. What's wrong with biology teachers coaching special teams in high school?
Well, I think a biology teacher has a pretty good shot at coaching high school special teams, but not NFL special teams.
Guys, I'm telling you. First of all, you have a snapper. Fear the Claw, UNC, Bowman Moyer.
Yeah, educate me on what goes down inside.
Well, you have a snapper who's going to make... How many bad snaps have the Broncos had in the past 10 years? Two?
Maybe.
Three? How many bad snaps do you see in a typical high school game? I mean, you're going to see two or three at least a game.
No, I got it. I mean, if your point is it's a more difficult job because you have to coach kids that don't know what they're doing, I'll buy that. But your scheme, schematically, it is definitely more complicated.
Okay. Punting. And who knows what's happening, even in college and punting. It's a bit of a mystery. But these guys that make it to the NFL, it is stunning how hard it is to be a punter in the NFL. Because once you find one, you don't lose them. And the chance of him being injured go way down. And this is a tough job to get. I mean, out of college, we'll have, how many quarterbacks get drafted every year? Six, seven, eight, something like that? I mean, seriously, how many punters get drafted every year? One?
Yeah.
Maybe? That sort of thing?
What's your point?
My point is those guys who can punt in the NFL can do so for the most part with stunning amounts of accuracy, strength, direction. The vast majority of times on punts, nothing happened. Now, we just know punts falling apart because we've seen punts fall apart as they do. But the vast majority of punts are pretty boring because these punters are so much better. So you don't really, most of the time you don't have to think about anything. Kickers. Most kickers in the NFL can make 50-yard field goals within, I don't know, I mean, what percentage?
Again, where are you going with all this, though? What's the tie back?
It's not complicated. If you just let these three guys do their jobs and do it the right way, you're fine.
Look, it's not that hard. I give it to you. By far the easiest job of all the three phases, but you're way oversimplifying this. Way, way oversimplifying
this. I'm just saying
this
to the texter. You could coach special teams. I could coach special teams.
Not true.
Telling you.
Why you got to get so dramatic? Why you got to take it to such extreme?
It's not even me.
We got common ground. We're making fun of Tom McMahon together. You and I, we're in this together. And then you got to take it to an extreme and act like you know how to go out there and coach special teams.
I'm telling you, you've got a brain in your head.
You would be the worst special teams coach in the history of the NFL. How about that?
I would have probably a problem because I would advocate things to the head coach that would mostly include not doing anything.
Okay,
you're right. I probably would be the worst special teams coach because I would keep telling my head coach, we don't need to do it. Like, kickoff return, we don't need to do it.
You think you're the head coach? No, you're a special teams coach.
I know.
That's not your job. That's not your role. That's the head coach's role. That's his job.
So you got the head coach telling Deontay Spencer.
Not only would you be a horrible coach, but you would be, you'd be out of line. You'd be speaking out of turn.
I would. I would be hated dramatically.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it would be terrible, actually. You're right.
You got to know the pecking order, dude.
I know, and that's what you have. You have a special teams coach trying to cater to the head coach instead of espouse whatever his philosophy is. And then it's a disaster. You have Deontay Spencer stepping back into the end zone. Seriously, dude. Or not, I'm sorry, it was KJ Hamler. Why did he do that? Like, what was the reasoning behind it?
He wanted to make a play.
All right. Gronk. I want you to play some Gronk for you. Here's Gronk's mindset these days.
I know it's been all of, two games, right? So it's a long season, but you've been targeted four times so far. Did you expect to be a bigger part of the passing game at this point? And do you ever lobby Tom for the ball and say, hey, man, I'm open?
I'm a blocking tight end, I came here to block, baby. So four targets is four more than I thought I was going to get.
I gotta respect that, man. I mean, that's hilarious. That's hilarious to me, man. That's how you control the narrative.
There you go.
You want to control the narrative? Yeah, embrace it.
There you go. Embrace the suck.
Right. Everybody's saying you can't outrun anybody. Yeah, that's because I'm a blocking tight end.
That's
you think I'm gonna outrun anybody? I'm here to block.
That's four more than I thought I was gonna get.
Huh?
What up, dude?
Oh my gosh, I watched the cheesiest little dad joke episode with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski out there on the Tampa Bay practice field.
Did it make you want to throw up?
Oh, it was terrible. The whole thing. I somehow watched like 3.5 minutes of just awkwardness. It was terrible.
We are getting closer and closer to this game. Let's go over what happened with the Nuggets a little bit. We have the fire up, and we're going to give you reasons that you should be excited for this game. And Notorious Nate Jackson, I'm just going with it. It's on the sheet. I'm just going to call Notorious Nate Jackson's Freestyle. That's the name. The Notorious Nate Jackson Freestyle after the fire up. All still to come. We'll get your weekend going the right way right here on The Drive.
Here's The Drive.
You know who would love me as a special teams coach, Tyler?
I'm trying to think about that.
The players.
Oh, the players. Well, because they wouldn't have to do anything?
Correct. We would only have one special teams practice a week.
All right, here's all I want to know. Are you going to make offensive linemen show up for one PAT meeting a week?
It's going to be no uniforms, no helmets, and it's only going to be on Saturday.
But do I have to go to a meeting? You didn't answer my question.
No meetings. Never a meeting.
All right, cool. I'm in.
Right. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. I got the inside gap.
That's it.
I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. Reaches his hand up, just knock him in the chest, hopefully knock him down. That's it.
Don't fall for the swim, though. Every now and then, though, there's a nasty swim in there. They catch you lunging.
I'll trust that you know what you're doing. That's it. Once a week, we would do it on Saturdays.
It's probably a big mistake to assume that I know what I'm doing.
I'd work with the specialist a lot. I'd work with the punter a lot.
Oh, because that's something you're going to know a whole lot. That's the complete opposite of what you should be doing,
actually.
I'd
work with the returners.
Matter of fact, you shouldn't say a word to the kicker. You shouldn't say a word to the punter.
Well, but here's what I was saying.
I promise you, you don't know that skill set. You might know how to get the guys in the right spot, but you don't know how to punt.
Here's what I said. Okay, D-Mac, coach special teams, stop Hester and Cribs. We're going back a little bit. Here's how I stop Devin Hester. I tell my punter to kick the ball out of bounds. I have just stopped Devin Hester.
You would be surprised how many times that ball does not go out of bounds.
Mark Schlereth is with us.
Mark.
What's happening?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Mark, I've been complaining about the referees all show long. What do you have to say about me, huh? What do you want to say about me, Mark? I heard you.
Yeah, there's never been one time where the referees cost us a game, ever.
Yeah, but what if they still were terrible referees? What about that? Is it okay to complain about them then, Mark? Huh?
I suppose you can complain about them.
Yeah,
if that's what you want to do. But I don't know. I'm not a referees are terrible and they cost us a game guy. I don't buy that.
So what do you think about people that don't ascribe to that sort of that sort of theory?
That the referees didn't cost you a game.
If you're not that guy, what do you think about people who are that guy?
Basically,
well,
we've been
complaining
about the referees.
I understand that people are going to complain. I was just taught when I came in the league by Joe Gibbs that referees don't cost you games. The mistakes that you make along the way cost you games, and you have to overcome the mistakes you make along the way, and you have to be able to execute. It's like saying, it's like the Broncos saying, hey, we're close. We're only a couple plays away. The scores have been close. The games aren't close. You're not making plays when you need to make plays. That's the issue. And you can sit there and tell me you're close, and the score could be close. But until you start making a play in critical moments, I'm going to say I disagree. So that's just kind of where I'm at with that whole kind of concept of, the refs didn't do us any favors. Well, listen, I just was taught you have to do your own favors. You have to make up, for bad officiating or whatever the case may be. So, again, you're entitled to your opinion. I just disagree with it.
We were saying earlier, listen, if the Nuggets can't be close. You got to do what you do. Take it out of the ref's hands and do what you can do.
No doubt about it.
And win the game going away.
And get some offensive rebounds.
And the rebounds and all that. All right.
Right.
We wanted to really talk to you about, we know you've been doing a lot of work on this game, obviously. You're back-to-back on Brady, and you've been studying. Do you have any other Broncos games, or is this it for you on Fox for the year?
Well, right now, we've changed the way we do it. We used to give the first eight games, and you'd know your first eight games, and then we'd go, like, two or three games at a time. Now we're only getting, one game in advance or two games in advance. So I don't know beyond week 6 right now.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Be honest. How many times did you wake your birds up because you got a little bit too nervous when you're speaking to Tom Brady, huh?
Hey, listen, there were a couple times. There were a couple times that, I tried to play it really cool, but deep down inside, I was like just giddy, you know? I just wanted to talk about his jawline and his swell cleft in his chin. So, yeah, there were many times. I tell you, though, he was very, just very introspective. And, you know, the crazy thing about him, and I know a lot of people, especially in Denver, hate his guts, and a lot of people in the NFL can't stand him because of the success that he's had. Very introspective, and there's almost the sense that, like, he would just like to be one of the guys, but he's so freaking famous that right. It's really hard to be just one of the guys, you know? So when you talk to him, you know, he's dropping curse words and he's talking about how crappy he played and the misreads he had and the disappointment of, you know, all that. And the fact that, like he said, hey man, for 20 years I've been married and I knew everything about my bride. He goes, now I've been dating for 6 months or 6 weeks and everybody wants me to know everything about this person. Because I don't. And he's very much Peyton Manning-esque. And you guys know how Peyton was. Yep. Like, it wasn't enough to know what the play was. I want to know why. And then I also want to know the origin. Well, why did you get to this? What happened to make you do it this way? And so there's this depth to them. They want to know everything. They're insatiable in their appetite for knowledge. And sometimes, you know, the coach goes, well, this is the way we do it. And you're like, well, that's not good enough. Why do we do it this way? Because it doesn't make sense to me, and I'd like to do it this way. And so, you know, you talk to them, and it's fascinating to kind of understand their process.
Were you at practice today?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to us. Talk to us from a Broncos perspective as you're over with the Broncos today. What do you got going on? What have your conversations been with them about this week?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of optimism because they played close games. But they understand they're going to have to execute. They understand that their best players offensively and defensively have been injured. You know, they understand the task at hand. So, I had a conversation with Vic. I go, listen, man, nobody feels sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for you. He goes, you don't? I go, no. I mean, it's just the way the league operates. Everybody gets hurt, you know, and you just happen to have a lot of your top players hurt. And ultimately, you know, we expect you to go out there and play well. So, you know, it'll be very interesting. But I think there's optimism in that they do have young talent. They are playing hard. They've got to clean up some of the mistakes. And, you know, Tyler and I, the way we watch film, you always watch it kind of – I always describe watching film as a former player as you watch it through the prism of what you did for a living. So your lens or your aperture is very tight. You know, it's very myopic in your focus sometimes. And, you know, you watch it from that offensive perspective and that protection perspective. And when you give up 7 sacks and you give up 19 QB hits and 11 – tackles for loss, you know, you scrutinize it and you look at the issues and, you know, and it's always interesting, you know, because Tyler and I were on the same page. Hey, listen, Cushenberry's a good young player. He's going to struggle at times, man. He got turned. I mean, it was like a turnstile of the New York subway.
Oh yeah.
It was bad. I mean, it was bad. And listen, it doesn't mean he's not a good player. It just means that he got put in a bunch of one-on-one situations with jam fronts and he got exposed. And guess what? Tampa, and here's the interesting thing about this matchup for me, is when you watch Tampa, they'll play a 5-down basic front where Shaq is playing one outside linebacker. It's like a 3-4, and they'll play their inside 3 guys with Golston and Vita Vea and Dominican Sue, and then JPP will be the other outside linebacker. So they'll have 5 guys across the line of scrimmage. Then if you get into nickel stuff, then they get into a 4-down line with Vita Vea or Golston and Dominican Sue, and then Shaq Barrett and JPP are outside defensive ends. And so, like, to me, like, both options are bad, like, based on what happened last weekend. So it'll be really fascinating to see if, you know, if Pat Shurmur is going to stay in true to his nature of 11 personnel and spread offenses. In the red zone last weekend, they were in 11 personnel, 11 red zone snaps. They were in 11 personnel 11 times. And I believe, I'm not looking at my notes, but I believe 9 of those were spread formations, like trips or speed trips or twins. That's going to expose you. So, I mean, you're going to have to make some decisions on what you want to be, and all the speed in the world isn't going to block people. So that's going to be a big matchup for me this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that one coming when I was out of training camp and I was watching a goal line period, and Pat Shurmur called 3 straight plays from the 2-yard line and all 3 of them were out of shotgun. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, oh my gosh, is this what it's going to be? And then lo and behold, our first 4th and goal opportunity, he goes shotgun and he calls the shovel pass. Do you think that will change it all though? Do you think he'll go a little bit more traditional football with Jeff Driskel, your backup QB, in there?
No.
No.
I think for the most part, it may a little bit, but like, who are you? Like, think about this, Tyler, because this is an interesting conversation for you and I. Like, one of the things I learned from Gary Zimmerman, I came here to Denver after 6 years in Washington, and 6 years where, you know, I was a Pro Bowler a couple of times and played in the Super Bowl. And Gary Zimmerman taught me something about football that I thought was fascinating. We're having this conversation about who are you when it's kind of rubber meet the road moment, right?
Yeah.
And he always looked at it like, hey, listen, from a pass rushing standpoint, this is how I break guys down. It's 3rd down and 12. The game is on the line, and you have to get to the quarterback. What move are you going to throw? What is your go-to? What's your best, your ultimate best move? And he goes, then I develop a game plan to play against that guy to say I am always 100% of the time going to set to take that away, unless, of course, it's a 3-step drop or whatever, right? But anything that's got depth to it in your drops, I'm going to set to take that away because – that's your identity. That's at the core of who you are. That's your go-to move. That's what you're going to throw. So if I set to take that away 100% of the time, I'm a good enough athlete and a good enough player to react on everything else. And it was me, year 6, it was an epiphany, like, wow. Like, I haven't thought about it that way, but that's really good. So I'll go back to, you know, to crunching time. Like, who are you? Well, that guy – at his core is 11 spread. That's what he is. And so when rubber meets the road time, guess what that guy's going to fall back into? Mm-hmm. What he knows the best. And that's how I feel like most people do it. And, that's not derogatory. It's just what he's always, it's what he's known. It's what he's done.
Well, Mark, we'll look forward to the game and the call. Who's your team? Adam and, oh boy.
Adam Amin.
And who you got on the sideline with you?
Lindsey Zarniak and Adam Amin.
All right. Well, I hope you guys have a great call, and I'm sure you enjoy this rare opportunity. It doesn't happen all that often for you that you're just home for the week, so right. I'm sure that's great for you. So.
Yeah, it has been awesome. We're going to go down and have a Fox dinner on Fox at Garden Grace. My bride is going to meet me downtown, so it's going to be absolutely awesome.
Awesome.
And We're gonna enjoy the evening.
All right, have a great call, and right, we'll be listening to you guys on Monday. Thanks, Mark.
Sounds good. Be good.
All right, it's KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Let's do it. 5:00. Come on.
Stand up and shine.
Let's go.
From the one handoff, Gordon over the left tackle, got a block. He'll crash into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Denver. First and goal. Hand it to Freeman. Stutter step move. Freeman is in.
Then the fake handoff. He rolls back. He gains. He's on the number. Throws a pass in the
end zone. The catch is made on a slide at the goal line by Fant, and that is a Denver touchdown. 37 and out. This is Gordon. Oh, yes. Burning free, breaking tackles. He's amazing. That was sensational.
Gonna need some more of that.
Pressure that is nailed by Jarrell Casey.
Third and 14. Walks in, wobbly. Oh, what a big time hit by Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Let's go. And throws it in, caught for the touchdown. Grab by Fant.
Oh, wow.
Fake to Lindsay, offers a block and downfield, and he's got Fant, the rookie tight end.
You like that? Yes. You like that?
Let's go.
Daniel pump fake right. Look out from behind. A touch against him. And sacks him back at the 26.
Let me clear my throat. Kick it over here, baby pop. And let all the fly skimmers feel the beat. Drop.
To the 12, end zone bound, and he's intercepted. He's picked off by Alexander Johnson.
Hands off to Gordon. Over the right tackle, kind of block. He's at the 25, the 30, and the number's the 40. He high steps to the 45, galloping to the 50, angled to the far sideline, and taken down. A great run at 25.
Score here, Greg. They're right back in it.
Frisco, got him in the corner. Touchdown. Noah Fant.
First and goal. To Freeman. Stutter step move. Freeman is in.
Yes.
Touchdown, Broncos.
Freeman. Royce
Mariota in trouble. Spins away. Throws on the run. And it is picked off. Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
Woo. Down 13. Blocked in there by Dozier. Blocked by Reef. And they come up the middle again. And Shelby Harris got at the quarterback for his second sack today. The third by the Bronco defense.
That's right. That's the beautiful part about football, baby. I promise you, those guys in that locker room think that they could win. I had never played a game that I didn't think I was going to go out and win.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Whatever's happened during the week, you just look forward to this moment where you can. And it's the NFL. Seriously, anything can happen.
No doubt about it. There's no question.
And listen, I get it. The odds are stacked against the Broncos. I get it. So what? You win these. This happens all the time. Did we see Miami blowing out Jacksonville last night? I mean, come on. Did anybody even watch that game?
It was Jacksonville.
All right. Anyways, you see where I'm going.
That might have been the first time in my life I watched basketball over football, by the way.
There were highlights. Notorious Nate Jackson. Talk about a great new tradition. Now, last week, we had heard the song before.
Correct.
We heard it now.
Yes.
This week, neither of us has heard the song yet.
No, not even, nothing.
Richie, you've heard it, though, right? All right, so we're going with Nate?
I'm assuming it's good.
Here we go!
Let's go.
What's that, dude?
Nate Jackson.
70,425 no-show.
Oh, dude, dude, you guys need my shoulder, dude. I really hurt it this time.
The number one key to the lock, stay healthy. But Drew got a boo-boo, laid up taking selfies. Don't worry, he promised to return. Meanwhile, the city burns. Zero wins, two losses, so how do you respond? Like a lion in the woods or a duck in the pond. Yeah, you hurt, so what? Everybody's in pain. That's the name of the game. Can you handle it?
Incomplete.
Vic starting to hear the clock tick. Tick, 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 tick. But it doesn't seem to bother Vic. Vic. A lot of folks are mad, yo, but Vic ain't hearing that.
He should be fired.
Yells James Merrillack. No time to panic. Looky here, a winnable game against the Buccaneers. Well, the team is stacked, but so far it ain't working. Tom looks old and the Gronk, he ain't twerking. Got Bruce Arians stuttering, cause all of Brady's balls be fluttering. One pick, two pick, three, it's a hat trick. Maybe the GOAT, but he's a geriatric.
Incomplete. Oh, man.
Hey, you guys want to play some football? Go on, go deep. I'll hit you. Yeah, you go on out to the corner and make a lap. Yeah, go on. Okay. Shit. 322. 122. Shit.
Wow! Dude!
Amazing.
That was better than last week.
It was. Somehow he found a way to top himself.
That was sick.
That was amazing. I mean, that is a very legitimate skill.
Dang, man. Notorious Nate Jackson's freestyle. Are you kidding me? That was awesome. Oh, we got to replay that at some point.
Love the dig at James. I love the dig at James. I love the geriatric.
Oh, that was great.
You know what? That was as good as a fire up right there. I mean, that in its own right. Richie did a great job, but I mean, holy cow.
Dang. That was on. We'll definitely. Jeez, when would it be right time? Maybe in about 15 minutes. We'll play it maybe before we have to go to break.
I kind of want to play it again right now.
I know. Well, yeah, but we got our keys to the game, and we got to get to that because they're presented by Demon Criminal Defense. GoAwayDUI.com. Remember, the key to your best defense is choosing the right lawyer, Demon Criminal Defense. You want me to go first or you want to go first?
Sure, go ahead, bud.
All right, the keys to the game, you can't let Leonard Fournette ruin what otherwise would be a great performance. Meaning, if you got things in check, you don't want the one thing that you should be able to handle to ruin you. Tyler, if we lose this game because Tom Brady becomes Tom Brady and Mike Evans, the football player, is Mike Evans and Godwin is great and even Gronk catches touchdown passes, I'm not going to love it, but I'd understand it. One of my biggest keys is make them beat you. Make them beat you with the weapons they have. Do not get beat by the running game of the Buccaneers. They're going to try. But if you can contain that and not allow them to rip off big runs and dominate you, you're going to get the ball back because Tom Brady is a little bit older, doesn't move, and perhaps you can force, you know, a turnover. But if they can run the ball on you, Tyler, you're not going to have a shot. And they'll just bleed you to death, basically.
Yeah.
So that's my big key.
Well, I feel you, man. I mean, that's always the key to victory. You got to run the ball and you got to stop the run. You could say that every single week without even thinking about the matchups. I think a little bit differently, though, about it this week because I just know the way that Tom Brady is going to game plan. And he's going to game plan by looking for the best players, and he's not going to go after the best players. Then he's going to look for the weakest link, and he's going to go after the weakest link. And right now, he's going to be looking at Michael Ojemudia, and he's going to be looking at his two wide receivers and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and he's going to be thinking, man, I got some opportunities here. So ironically, although I don't disagree with you, I actually think that a more important key to victory this week is going to be Michael Ojemudia finding a way to shut down a million targets that are going to be coming his way.
There's going to be a lot of heat on the young guy, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it. That's where they
are. Well, there is. No, that's not true. There's something you can do about it.
What can you do?
You shut it down. You shut it down, and then they'll stop throwing the ball at you.
Okay.
I mean, you go out there and you get a PBU or you get an interception. I promise you he's not going to come back after you. So there is something you can do. You shut it down.
All right. Well, that means you just got to play great. Michael Oshimudia.
Well, you got to play great in the first quarter. And if you play great in the first quarter, they might not throw at you again. It's probably not true with Michael, but...
I think Michael Oshimudia is going to get plenty of attention.
Hey, I'm not down on Michael, though. I'm really not. I mean, that guy.
Some people think you are because of our,
I got to talk to some people around here about some misleading videos that get put out. But, Michael Oshimudia is a very fine young player that, honestly, had he caught the interception, we'd be talking much differently about him. I'm not down on him. I'm just telling you, this is the way that Tom Brady operates. He's going to find the best opportunity for him to succeed, and he's going to attack it.
Another key for me is, I don't know. Their defense is tough, tough, tough. But there's a little wiggle room for their cornerbacks. I mean, I think even they are good. This is a good defensive team top to bottom. But there's a little wiggle room there, though. It does bother me that Jerry Jeudy was listed as questionable. I think he's going to play. But it does tell me that he's banged up a little bit, and he's already dropped a couple passes in both games. I don't know if you saw the stat, though. He hasn't caught a lot of passes, but the vast majority of the passes that he has caught of his 8 or over 15 yards, he is dynamic. He can make things happen. Without Cortland Sutton, and I know there was a debate this week, the number one receiver, what does that all mean? Pat Shurmur totally dismissed it. He goes, well, what is that? It doesn't matter. You're going to have a big game from, it might be KJ Hamler. I mean, I'm just saying you may not have all the opportunities, but Tyler, aren't we due for something big, something to break, some sort of instant offense that leads to points?
Boy, I hope that the Broncos coaching staff is not as conflicted as you and I are right now, because we're just not viewing this game the same way right now. I think that the key to victory is going to be Melvin Gordon has to run the ball against a really talented rush defense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are tough to run the ball against, but I don't care. You've got Jeff Driskel in the game, and you don't want Jeff Driskel to be the guy that is winning the game for you.
You see it as a grinded out sort of deal.
Absolutely, 100% I do. I do not see our receivers being the keys to the victory. Although I would agree, I mean, if I'm just looking at their defense, you've got a better opportunity on their secondary than you do in the rush defense.
I could have sworn I saw a player, I should have written his name down, I think it was for the Dolphins. It's like 5'5", and he was got some sort of, reverse sort of thing. Gosh, who was that? I'm forgetting it off the top of my head, but it was obviously a way they just have a dynamic guy, a small guy, and they just were going to get him the ball. I do feel like that about KJ Hamler. You're not feeling that, though. You're not feeling...
Oh, well, I guess if that was your point, that you got to use them more creatively in the running game and in the passing game, I thought you were just more talking about we got to take advantage of them in the passing game. And I strongly disagree there. You just don't want to put the ball in your backup quarterback's hands. Melvin Gordon is making a ton of money, and I don't care if the Buccaneers are good at stopping the run. You are supposed to be one of the best running backs in the league, and we better be able to count on you when our backup QB's in there.
I got one more for you.
Okay, I hope we agree.
And Pat Shurmur seemed offended by this, but it was pointed out to him that Noah Fant was great, in one half of one game and, in another half of the other game. And the question was, I guess I can see how this was a little insulting. Why not use Noah Fant for the entire game?
Right, right.
And Shurmur definitely, that got him upset a tad. But I'm going to go with that a little bit.
Oh, I don't think I heard that response. Was he a little bit feisty on that?
A little feisty on it. A little bit. Not over the top. We'll see. I'll see if I can't dig that up for you at some point here. But I think I want Noah Fant in this particular game, if at all possible, to have a game like Waller had for the Raiders.
Sure.
That's what I'm looking for. A total game from Noah Fant, first half and second half. Let Noah Fant be a superstar this weekend.
Sure, I feel you on that. There's no reason why Noah Fant can't be catching 10 passes for 100 yards every single game. He should be one of the top tight ends in the game. And Bruce Arians, by the way, speaks of him like he is one of the top tight ends in the game. I got a little bit of a different key to victory, although I like yours. Mine is counterintuitive to when you would normally play Tom Brady. Normally, when you play Tom Brady, I would say you want to sit back. You actually don't want to blitz this guy, because when you blitz him, you're going to give him everything that he wants. He knows how to manage his offense to handle any blitz. And if you give him a crack, you give him a little window, he's going to get rid of that ball before you can get to him. But I think Tom Brady's a little bit rattled right now. He doesn't look as comfortable as he usually is. And I would say let's get this guy under duress as quickly as we can. Let's challenge him into making quick decisions. And you might see Tom Brady, the GOAT, actually cough up a couple.
I agree with you on that. I think the communication with him and his team, like he has said, it's like he broke up a 20-year marriage and he's just dating somebody for the first time. In a new relationship, often. Good with the marriage advice.
Yeah, right.
Communication is a big deal, and usually a lot of relationships struggle with a lack of communication. It doesn't get till a year, you know, let's see, I've been married 26 years, probably about year 19 that you understand what each other are thinking. Just a little pep talk for everybody out there that's under 19 years of marriage.
Gosh, I apparently got a long ways to go.
Tyler, it's actually stunning how long you have to go. Trust me, you don't want
to... married longer than you think.
How long have you been married?
12 years.
Good start. anyway, but I believe that Brady's being truthful there and that the communication is not that great. So let's hope that happens, that there's something that leads to something else, and let's take advantage of it. You can't drop that ball if it hits you in the helmet or the hands. You take advantage of those opportunities. And you know what? I bet you will have at least two opportunities from Brady. I bet you he gives you at least two opportunities. Whether you take advantage of it or not, we'll see.
Agreed.
But I bet you he gives it to you, because he just doesn't know these guys that great. Like, Godwin and Evans are healthy, I guess, completely. All that concussion protocol, who knows. But he does have Godwin and Evans, theoretically, both healthy this week. He just doesn't have a lot of reps with these guys. So you can see where there'd be some miscommunication.
Yeah, which is why I just say don't let him sit back there and be comfortable. Get him out of his element and make him think fast and make him get out of his rhythm. And, you know, just challenge him a little bit. See if he'll cough one up for you.
Won't it be interesting to watch Tristan Wirfs play right tackle?
It's going to be great. I've watched every single rep that he's had so far.
What do you think so far?
He looks fantastic. Yeah. He looks absolutely fantastic. He's had a couple moments against Cameron Jordan in particular where he struggled, but for the most part, man, he has just been in control. A lot of people were telling me he couldn't play tackle, and I said, BS. That dude could play tackle.
What do you think about, now that you're actually looking at him and you're looking at Judy, that sort of decision? Like, we got Judy, they got worse, that sort of comparison.
Again, I just cannot second guess selecting Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted an offensive tackle, as badly as I wanted us to trade up with Tampa Bay when they were on the clock and take Tristan Wirfs,
yeah,
Jerry Jeudy was the best wide receiver in the class, and nobody in their right mind could have foreshadowed him dropping all the way to 15. So I'm not going to second guess that one.
You know what? I agree with you. I do agree with you. As much as we love Tristan Wirfs and a lot of the other offensive linemen, the bigger question probably comes in the second round, what you would do for depth there.
Correct, exactly.
And you can quell that a little bit if KJ Hamler can be that guy and have those explosive plays, and let's hope that happens. All right, it's time for our picks, brought to you by King Soopers, the official grocery store of your Denver Broncos. Tyler, I can make mine, but I think it's going to be a lot more positive than yours, so... You want to end on a positive note here or a negative note?
Oh, sure. I'll go first. I got Denver Broncos losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 24-17.
Okay. How does the game roll out?
You're never really in it. You just do your best.
Touchdown late.
Tampa Bay probably gets out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter. You fight your way back. You might pick up a field goal, maybe a touchdown in the first half. And you're just really playing from behind the whole time. And you've got a backup QB in the game that isn't going to do anything special for you.
I'm going to take the Broncos to win 24-23.
Oh,
and
man.
I know
Captain Homer is back.
I know you're right to call me that.
Why?
I can't even defend it.
I mean, why? Tell me why. What matchup do you see that we are better than the Buccaneers? Give me the matchup.
I think Brady will give you two opportunities.
So Jeff Driscoll is better than Brady?
No, I'm definitely not saying that.
Okay.
Listen, if Jeff Driscoll just is a train wreck and is turning the ball over, then yeah, you're in big trouble. But I think you're going to see, I think they learned something, I hope, knocking on wood, from that possession late, the 3rd and 2 and then the 4th and 2. They just picked up something on that. And that there's just a smarter, more conservative way to sort of to enhance success in those particular plays. I'm not saying they shouldn't throw the ball down the field. Driscoll threw the ball down the field great.
I agree.
Several times.
I totally agree with Mark. They haven't learned. They're not going to learn. They're not going to change. This is Pat Shurmur.
All right.
This is the guy that we watched on film. This is what we've got so far is everything I told you that I was terrified of.
I don't know. And I think McManus hits a big one at the end. And
how exactly do they score 23?
They scored 23 because our defense makes some stops and they have to settle for field goals.
All right, I'm not gonna go too deep on it. That's a weird number, but I'm not gonna go too deep on it.
Well, you gotta.
No, I'm not gonna challenge you too much on it.
Two touchdowns, two field goals.
Two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns, two field goals.
That's not 23.
It is.
Try that again. Add that up again.
Three field goals.
Yeah, there you go.
And two touchdowns. Hey!
Oh my gosh.
My college is already playing football.
Oh, this is amazing.
Alright, there you go. And
for reasons you guys don't even know, it's even more amazing.
Thank you for King Supers, your official grocery store of the Broncos. I don't know. There's
two
no
touchdowns and two field goals, huh?
This is my least confident pick of all time. It definitely goes into the fact that
this is very easy. We all know why you picked this. Because you've had something, you've just had this feeling that Tom Brady was going to be terrible,
right,
that the Patriots were tanking,
right,
that it all was,
well,
the world was ending.
Tampa Bay.
I'm talking about both of them.
Oh, I see.
These two were connected in my mind because you had something stuck in your mind about the Patriots, then you had something stuck in your mind about Tom Brady that he was going to tank, he was going to be terrible as well. And now here we are, you're a couple weeks into the season and you're refusing to reevaluate your offseason opinion.
I'm sticking with it. But it's not with a lot of confidence. 0-3. Man, oh man, oh man. 0-3 just would be so tough.
Well, it's next to impossible. This game, it is a must win. I know you hate that. I know you do not like that conversation.
It's not a must win.
100%, 1,000%, 2,000. How many percentage, how many points can I give? This is absolutely a must win game. D-Mac, if you go 0-3, you do not make the playoffs. Plain and simple fact. Period.
Jets,
done. Game over.
Jets are terrible.
Season over.
Patriots are, we'll see with the Patriots. And the Dolphins, I mean, come on, the Dolphins.
D-Mac, if you go 0-3, you will not make the playoffs.
What if you're 3-3 after six games?
Okay, so you're going to be the Patriots, Dolphins, and Chiefs.
Jets.
Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins.
Jets,
you,
Patriots,
you can
Dolphins.
Be 3-3, and then you're feeling a whole lot better. Sure. Yeah.
And that's where Peyton Manning was after his first
six
games.
You still got to play dang good football the rest of the year, and you don't have any margin for error.
But you get some mojo working with you.
And you're doing that with the backup QB, by the way.
Only for a couple of those games.
A couple?
Three. I think.
I'll put an Americano on that one.
I had to pay it off today.
I love betting against you. Go on.
What's the bet?
You think that Drew Lock will be back for the Dolphins game?
I do. Okay. Put in Richie Ledger.
Or was it the Patriots game you were saying?
No, Dolphins.
No, back up. Be honest. Were you saying the Patriots or were you saying the Dolphins?
Dolphins.
You were saying the Dolphins.
I feel like the Patriots.
You're saying he's going to miss 3 weeks.
The Patriots game would be, like, amazing. I think they'd like to see it, but I'm not going to bet on that, even with a coffee bet. I think the Dolphins is more likely. And that still has him coming back earlier than he was originally expected to. Come on now. You want to go on that? I paid one off today.
Which one did I pay off today, Richie, by the way? Which horrible bet of mine did I actually square?
You know what?
Guys?
I believe it was Cushionberry.
Cushionberry was today, so we're scratching that one off.
You know what? I can't accept this bet because I refuse to bet against Drew Locke's health. That's the bet in the first place.
You know
what? It was a bad bet. I shouldn't have made that bet. That is, there's some bad mojo if you're betting against somebody's health, and I refuse to do that.
I have an amazing win. And man, are we fired up. It's a short week, and we're going to roll into New York and take that too. You have the Broncos at 0-3, and that is bad. And you have it a one-score game, but not a close game. Meaning it's just...
You're just never really there.
This is a big game. I'm not going to lie. You're right.
It's must. Just say it.
For the playoffs?
Yes.
You know, you're gonna have to win home games, and you're gonna have to win some games that nobody expects you to win.
I mean, don't make me bust out the stats of 0-2 teams that would equate to this year's version of 0-3 teams. Don't make me bust out those stats, D-back. It's bad. It's really bad.
You get an extra team in the playoffs this year.
I know. That's why I just gave you 0-3 instead of 0-2. You're already 0-2, so I'm giving you 0-3.
Who else is picking the Broncos besides me and Cliss? Anybody? I mean, I'm not even paying attention.
Probably James Merrilett.
No, there's no way. James has been on a tear. Did you see what James did to me last night?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'll tell you about it coming up. I'll tell you about it. James drugged me in with them. Plus, we got our prop bets to get to. That's next.
Thank you for listening to The Drive on Demand, powered by your local Ace Hardware stores. Ready for backyard tailgating? Ace Hardware has given away 5 Traeger grills worth $799 just in time for football season. Just visit 1043thefan.com/ace to enter. Sweepstakes end September 30th, so enter today.